You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I wanted to do a show on a question that I've been asked even as a kid in elementary school and middle school and high school through college. I bet my parents have been asked this question. I bet your grandparents have been asked this question. And so I'd like to ponder something tonight. If you were stranded on a desert island, who would you want to be stranded with? And the reason why I think this question is pertinent right now is that I've been really thinking lately about living off the grid. You know, often many of us, we think about that stuff. I mean, we love our career and we love what we're doing, but we also have that adventurous side. You know, what if we did live on an island? And we don't necessarily need to be stranded, but who would you want to be with? And I think oftentimes in this analogy, the reason why they use the word stranded is because they don't want it to be where you can just easily jump off the island and just hang out. They want you to make these decisions deeply conscious, aware, consciously aware, consciously, authentically aware decisions. Because they want you to make a decision that you could stick by for a long period of time. And I find that very interesting because I feel that also, you know, from a therapist perspective, from a coaching perspective, from my own personal perspective, you know, I find that the person we pick to be quote unquote stranded with is always interesting because it does tell a lot about ourself. Where we are at this exact time in our life, who we want to spend more time with, who we feel adds depth and character and adds to our life, and who we can see eye to eye with. And I think it's very interesting because I find that often in life today, just, you know, going from the house to work, from the work to the bar to dinner, back to the house to cook dinner. Think about it. You know, we're not stranded anywhere. Some of you might feel like you're stranded, but for the most part, we're not stranded anywhere. But I think that we don't always use the best use of our time. And what I mean by that is often people say, oh, well, you know, it's all about work and it's all about this, but I found lately that we can have some amazing conversations with people that we never dreamed we could. We never even thought about. And I find that often in this world where we are today, it's kind of like, who did we spend time with most recently? And I think it's interesting because it's like we get stuck in the recent call list. And, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but I really find that we get stuck in this recent call list. So go to your phone right now. Go to your cell phone. As long as you're not driving. Some of you are pretty crazy at your driving, so you can probably pull this off too. But I'm not aiding and abetting in this. Go to your cell phone and go to the call log. And it's interesting because if you look in that right now, I'm doing it right now as I'm on here, as I'm doing this show right now. Go to the recent calls. Go to your recent calls and go to all. And it's interesting because when you look at these recent calls, a lot of these are back to back. There's several people that are constant in that call list. And some of you might have a call list on your phone that are 25, 50, 100. And most of them, some of them have just numbers because you don't know them or you haven't really set it into your phone. But most of them have names and you can see who you've been in contact with, who's kind of a, you know, not as often, and who that you constantly are in contact with. And I find it interesting. It's kind of like the most recent person on your mind we have a tendency of calling. And I find that often we overlook, you know, the contents and the contacts in our phone because we don't think about that. We think about the recent people we've been in contact with, And I'm scrolling through my phone to see how many contacts I have, and I don't know if it'll tell me. But I don't remember the last time I have called these numbers. I don't remember the last time. And it's interesting because I think sometimes we put it off. Sometimes we don't really see the value until it's too late. So let's begin to think about the concept of being on an island stranded. Who would we want to be with? Think about it. Who would you want to be with if you're on an island and you know that this communication with this person has got to, you know, not only entertain, but, you know, make you a, I don't know, help you be a better person, fortify, educate, I don't know, think about it, you know, make you laugh, all kinds of different things. Maybe they're a scientist, an engineer, a good friend. You know, the first person I want to look at when we're talking about stranded on an island, and so let's talk about ourselves real quick. I know. Go with the deepest, most difficult one to talk about right now in the very beginning. That's my perspective. That's what I like to talk about. And I often find, I remember when I was a kid, you know, people would ask me this question. I'd say, well, I got myself, so that they got that going for me. Because I think, first off, I would like to have, and I've done this before, I've gone to Buddhist retreats and temple type retreats where you can't speak to anybody but yourself for 10 days. And some of you might be like, 10 days, that's easy breezy. I can do 45. Some of you can't do an hour. Okay? I mean, let's get real. So for 10 days, you can't speak to anybody but yourself. And I think, you know, if you got stranded, it would be cool. Or if you could do basically this experiment, it would be kind of fun to spend 10 days on your own. And I think in 10 days, especially stranded on an island of some sort or out in the middle of nowhere, I think you're going to really get to know yourself better than you ever could before. And why I say that is you're not going to have a lot of outside sources bombarding you with outside things. You know, so from a therapist perspective, often I see in this lifetime, in this world, when you're living in the city, even the suburbs for that matter, well, let's just say you're living in the big city, you get bombarded by, there's a lot of hustle and bustle, there's a lot of movement, there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of people doing a lot of different things. So you got that going. You know, the next thing about living in the city and the suburbs and the big city is that you have a lot of advertising, billboards, TV, telling you what you need to buy, what's going to make you a woman, what's going to make you a man, what's going to make you a cool lady, what's going to make you a metro, whatever you want to talk about. It's like you'll drive down the highway and you see all the billboards, and you see a billboard for, you know, some of the most expensive stores to buy clothing and items. You'll see billboards, you know, obviously directed toward the female quotient to sell the most expensive handbags. Because his handbag is more than a handbag. It's a symbol. It's a symbol of opulence. It's a symbol of being in charge, a symbol of power, it's a symbol of money. You know, for men, you see the billboards, the suits and ties, the shoes, the expensive shoe companies that are selling to the men's shoe, because, you know, we often hear that people judge, men sometimes can judge other men by their shoes. And I find often that a lot of men judge other men by their shoes and their watches. I always think that's interesting. And I mean, you're not really, if you're not judging somebody, that's awesome too, because you don't have to worry about that. But I think people have fallen into this category that you're supposed to have a really expensive watch or watch collection, and you're supposed to have some amazing shoes. And I'll be honest with you, unless a watch company comes to me and wants me to be their watch ambassador, which I'm totally open for, but so far, I choose not to really wear a watch often, and I'm usually on time to everywhere I have to go. You know, you get stuck in that time, you know, continuum where you're focusing on the time that you have or the time that you've lost, And I think that's interesting. And the shoe concept, too. I mean, you'll find me in Tevas often in between meetings and such because I love my feet. And my feet love me. And so I care about them. And so those things don't really matter. But when it comes to women, much like men, you have shoes and watches. And women have handbags and shoes and clothes. And it's almost like we look at other women and show off our wares. And it's like there's not really many men out there that happen to be straight that even care about the handbag or the label of clothes that a woman's wearing. They could care less. I mean, as long as they look hot and sexy in it, that's all that matters, right? You know, come on. You know, men don't care about the handbag or the clothes that a woman wears. Just doesn't care. I mean, as long as it's not frumpy. You know what I mean? And frumpy's okay for some. You know, I'm not against it. But what I'm saying is that men only care what a woman looks like in the outfit. They don't care who makes it. And so when women and men are trying to look good, oftentimes when it comes to labels, they're trying to one-up within their own sex society, meaning to one-up in their own female society or male society. So when we return, I'm going to be talking about being stranded on that island and what you would do if you were just stranded by yourself. Hey, check out AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com. Check that out when you get a chance. Also, we have our own iHeart station. Yay, iHeart. We're so stoked about that. Check out Live Your True Life Perspectives on iHeart. You can always go to iHeart.com, put in Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y, and you'll find it immediately. It's the only podcast in their collection that has the name Ashley in it. Also, check out the Ashley Burgess Network. And also, don't hesitate to send me a message. Go to AshleyBurgess.com, click on contact, send me an email if you'd like to start coaching classes, whether you are in town or on Skype. I do have a few available options because I've had a couple of clients graduate. Stay tuned because Perspectives, Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time and, well, be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. I think one point in our time and another in our life, we've had the question posed to us. That question of, if you were on a desert island, and you were stranded, who would you want to be with? And one of the things when I was a kid, when I was asked this question, I think probably like in first grade or something, it was like a first grade or a second grade thing. And it's funny when they ask you these questions because as children, we have no idea what stranded means, really. Stranded? Does that mean that the bus takes me home and I can't go anywhere for a couple hours while I'm waiting for my family? Like the idea of stranded is very, it's, you know, it's all in relation to what we know, really. And so it's really kind of, you know, it's cute, but we don't really understand the importance of choosing wisely who we would be stranded with. And I've gone to a couple of Buddhist retreats, and I've done the 10 days where you can't talk to anybody but yourself. And like I was saying earlier, I think a few of you out there would probably lose it. Some of you would probably appreciate it and never go back into reality or into your lifestyle because you've just had enough of the human race. Others of you would learn a lot about your life. You would learn a lot about who you are and why you're in where you're in. And I think it's interesting because it would be great to be able, I wish they would have given us like options, right? You know, like, you know, everything's good with options. So it would be great to have the first 10 days of being stranded. You had some water and you had some sort of food. So you weren't having to worry too much about are you going to live or die. And then at the same point in time, you spent 10 days on your own on this island. And I think that if you had those 10 days on your own on this island to figure yourself out, you, my dear, would know a lot better who you'd want to be stranded with. Because one, you're going to know yourself pretty well. Because I'll give you a considerate figure. I don't really know. I can't really tell you because I haven't done my due diligence on this. And I really haven't looked it up on the computer because I really don't even know how many people have even thought about doing this. I mean, really, I don't know anybody else except for one person, and they said that they did it for 9 days and couldn't do it any longer. No, no, I take that back. I know one person besides myself that's done the 10-day non-speaking retreat that it actually worked out. And I only know two people besides myself in my whole lifetime that have gone. And I know a lot of people. So I would have to say that the percentages of people that actually know themselves, that have spent time on their own to get to know themselves in a retreat where it's only them, are very few and far between on this planet. And I would say that for the most part, the few people that have done it are, one, people that really, 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 really want to get to know themselves. And two, people that really don't like talking to other people. So, in the beginning of this island stranded thing, I would definitely choose the 10 days on my own. And I know that's a lot, because, I mean, I think that that movie with Tom Hanks where he starts talking to the volleyball like it's his friend Wilson. I can't remember the name. I think it's called Stranded, right? I think that's what it is. I mean, God forbid it's caused something else. But anyway, Tom Hanks is the only actor besides the volleyball, except for the very first 5 minutes of the film and the last 5 minutes of the film. So it's kind of like The Martian, okay? And this is a good example. I mean, like, you know, you have the film with Tom Hanks, you have The Martian. Both of these are good examples of being stranded on your own, doing a lot of soul searching, finding who you are, getting to know what's important, and surviving. And I think that would be the best thing, because in the very beginning, the first 10 days, and it would be great to know that after 10 days, you have the option of bringing someone in to the situation. I mean, that would be kind of amazing. I mean, you might forget what day it is and that kind of sort of thing, but you see what I'm saying? You have an option. But one, you really get to know yourself really well. And what I mean by that is you would get to know the ins and outs of yourself. You would get to know the decisions you make and why you make certain decisions and why you make certain assumptions in your life, because you would actually hear the talk in your mind. A lot of that's a lot of negative self-talk. You would also find your insecurities and your fears quite fast, especially in a stranded situation. You would really have to confront your fears. And think about that. A lot of people, their whole life, are held down by their fears. They're not able to deal with them head on, where they can actually deal with their fears and, you know, look at them, see them for what they truly are, and let them go. And the thing is often that with fears, just like with phobias for the most part, fears and phobias are very similar. And what I mean by that is a fear and a phobia, not all the time, but often, it's kind of manifested into something quite larger than life. The fear becomes this really large thing. This phobia becomes this really large, ultra large thing that takes on a life of its own. It's huge. It's a monstrosity. And I've seen fears that have come into my office, and folks have these fears, and it's like, you know, how long have you been suffering from this fear? And oftentimes, the fear that they're dealing with has been for as long as I can remember. And the fear itself has never happened, but the fear of the possibility, or even the reality that the fear could be real, is what's so scary. And so when you're stranded on an island, you would have to literally deal with your fears head on, because there's nowhere to hide. I mean, I guess you could hide, but you really don't have the option to wait for someone else to help you. And I find, too, that when we do deal with our fears in a healthy way, we have a tendency of sometimes being able to see that the shadow is lots bigger and quite larger and towering more than the actual thing itself. And I see fears manifest within people, you know, like the fear of loss or the fear of something, something that becomes bigger and bigger and bigger than life. And it takes on its own zip code, really. You know, I've had clients that have come in here that have been very stressed out. Well, come into my office, not in the studio. I mean, I guess they could come in the studio, but we meet in the office and we talk about fear. And one fear that I had a recent client deal with was the fear of fire. And for some of you out there, you're like, why would somebody fear fire? Well, fire can burn things down. It can do great. It can really ruin, disintegrate. It's a huge thing to deal with. We see the great fires. We see fires in California all the time that take out hundreds of thousands of acres of land. Homes destroyed. Crops destroyed. Land charred. And oftentimes, people come in to the office that have fears of fire, have either been in a fire, have been around a fire, and sometimes it's just the fear of the fire. They've never actually been in one, but they've seen it on TV and it scares them. And so that fear, let's just take it for example, there was a fire on their street and it was 10 houses down and they saw it. And it crippled them with fear. And so over a period of time, every time they saw an image of a fire, they cringe and they get a little scared and they get a little sick in the stomach. And then they start thinking about what if it was their house? What if it was them? What if they were in the fire? You see what I'm saying? And so that fear takes its own life. And eventually in the mind, it's like it's already happened. Like there's already been a fire. And now what do we do? And so when we're dealing with ourselves, especially in a situation where there's not outside activity, there's not ways to get our mind off the situation. We deal with ourselves and we deal with the issues at hand. And I find it so amazing when we deal with our own fears because it opens our life up to something even more meaningful because we're able to understand what we've been doing lately to hold ourselves back. I mean, because think about it. If you're fearful, Let's say that you're fearful of the water because you have a fear of drowning. And let's say maybe you knew somebody at some point in time in your life as a kid that drowned. And so all you could think about is that person that drowned and they die. And then let's say that every time you turn on the news, every other time you hear about somebody drowning, that's going to magnify and magnify and magnify in your mind that everybody's drowning. People are drowning every day all around you. You see what I'm saying? And eventually you go, I can't even be on water. What happens if I drown? I mean, other people are drowning. I'm not that great of a swimmer. What if I drown? So all of a sudden you regulate yourself in your life and your life changes because you can't be on water because you're scared of drowning. So you don't swim. You don't learn how to swim or you don't keep up your swimming skills very well because you're scared of drowning. Think about going on vacation on the water. Nope. Getting on a boat? Hell no. And so all of a sudden your life has changed based on the fact of a fear that hasn't happened to you, but a fear that's become so big in your own mind that you have to avoid it at all costs. And that's why I think it'd be interesting if we were to ask this question about being stranded on an island. I would pick myself to spend time with for 10 days to overcome some of my personal fears in a situation where I can't back down and I can't avoid it. Because I realize that for the most part, most of our fears are based in a non-reality or based in a subset reality of something that took place earlier or something that we've seen on TV that we even felt almost took place to ourselves. Stay tuned. We return to me talking more about being stranded on that island and who it is that you would pick after you spent the 10 days of solitude on your own. Who would you pick to spend time with? Stay tuned because I'll be back here in just a moment. Leave Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in, when will we be back? When are we coming back? Yeah. Two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Whoop, whoop. We're talking about being stranded on an island. Who would you be with? And so the first 10 days, we've agreed that we're going to spend some time with ourselves. I think that would be a great answer to that question. Get to know thy. Get to know thee. Understand what motivates me, what spirals me down, what's my fears. Ah! What do I anticipate? What's my anxiety? And what's been holding me back? And I think after we went through that 10 days of dealing with ourselves, we could really functionally understand consciously who we want to spend the rest of our time with on this specific stranded island. Because the reason why we use the word stranded is we don't want to sit there and just be like, eh, you can walk off the island at any time. You know, it's really a ferry, really. There's a ferry that pulls up every 30 minutes. And so you're only making this decision for 30 minutes. No, that's why we use the word stranded, because you really want to focus on what really matters in your life. You know, so who do we pick? And I know that often most of us would say, well, we got God with us, so that's a good thing. And I think that's kind of an already situation for believers out there who believe in that. You know, I mean, I don't think that we're ever really alone, right? I don't think that no matter how painful and how crazy and how stressful and how whatever's going on, we're really, 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 really not alone. And so really in the situation, you're not really stranded by yourself. You got God, so you got that going for you. The universe, the omniscient, the all-knowing. So however you want to call that, that being, that frequency, that energy. And so let's talk about, would you pick an actor? Would you pick an actor or an actress that you've never met before? And someone that you really think would be kind of cool to talk to. I mean, and that's always interesting, because I find often that when we look at actors and actresses, a lot of oftentimes when we're not in the acting world on a certain level, you know, like in Hollywood or on stage, you know, on Broadway, that sort of thing. But I think we make a lot of decisions based on where they are in life, what they look like, and the kind of person we think they would be. And I think that sometimes the decisions made could be right. I feel that often we might miss the boat because we might be making a judgment call on them based on a character that we think that they are like, based on the outside persona that we think they are like. I mean, and I think sometimes there might be some folks out there that, yeah, you're right. You could totally get along with. I mean, I have an actress that I think I could, I think she and I would get along very well, but I mean, I don't know. I just don't know. And I know that there's several folks that I think I could get along really well with, and I think I get along mostly with anybody, but I mean, like, really have a lot in common with. But, you know, you sit there and you wonder, are you really seeing them for who they are? Are you seeing them for who you want them to be? Are you misconstruing them with the character that they often played or have played, and you've seen that film so often that you start kind of thinking that's them? And again, you're taking a shot in the dark because you're not really with this person. You don't really know this person, and so you don't really know what it is that you're getting into. And like anything in life, anything can be a honeymoon in the very beginning, because it can seem very wonderful and very awesome and very amazing. However, will it stay that way? I mean, is it just for looks in the beginning, or will this work out? And I find it interesting because, again, actors, good actors and great actresses and great actors can make anything appear to be real. And you have to sit there and say, you know, would I be able to get along with them, and would this be a choice? And I think clearly there's some actors and actresses out there that I would really probably enjoy spending some time with. I don't know if they'd like me to summons them to a stranded island for the first time meeting them. I think maybe dinner or coffee or something would be kind of cool too. But you know what I'm saying? I think often though, until we really know someone, we really don't know how congruent we are. And really honestly, I think we can learn from everybody, but will it actually work out? You know, next, a lot of people often think about their family. When they're stranded on an island, would they have their family? Would somebody in their family be a perfect person to be stranded with? So let's look at the family dynamic. You got mom and dad, maybe your husband, wife, children, your children. Maybe you have brothers and sisters, right? And I'm not going to let, I mean, the dog and cat are also family. I believe that the pets are also part of the family. Some of you would disagree with me. I'm going to say that I agree with this. I agree with this message. This message has been provided by Ashley for Family, for Pets for Family. You know, a lot of political stuff going on around nowadays. But seriously, so it could be your pets, it could be your brother or sister, it could be your children, it could be your wife, it could be your husband, it could be your ex-wife, it could be your ex-husband, it could be your mother, it could be your dad, it could be your stepmother, it could be your stepdad. I mean, there's a lot of options here. And would one of those people be the right person to be stranded on an island with? And why would you choose one of those particular people? And I find often that we have a lot to learn, and I find that we are put in families oftentimes to learn things, whether it's easy or hard. And I find it interesting, like our mom and dads. I mean, I've learned a lot from my mom and dad. And you have to sit there and think about personalities. I mean, there's some people that would not want to be stranded. You won't want to be stranded with because of the stress and the anxiety that they're going to feel. You know, also, how much along did y'all get when y'all were, you know, living in a house in the suburbs where you could, you know, jump on a bus at any time or get in your car and leave? And I think for a lot of people right now, husband and wife, and you have to ask yourself that question. If you're really in a happy marriage and you like your marriage and you like who you're married to, and you actually are friends with them too, I think you would want to choose your spouse to be on this island. I mean, it kind of makes sense to me. But if your wedding or your marriage, your union is out of necessity, financially driven, children, you know, offspring driven, maybe it was an arranged marriage. Nothing wrong with that. And, you know, you never know. Maybe this is somebody that you're truly, truly in love with. Maybe it's out of necessity. Maybe it's under a requirement. Maybe it's just y'all been together so long and you don't want to get divorced, but you just don't know what to do. And it's interesting when you think about that, because when we think about being stranded on an island with somebody, it really puts into perspective our relationship with that person. And it's like you can put that relationship perspective now in this day and age where you are right now in your life, you know, down the street, up, you know, on the other side of the highway, whatever. And it really puts into perspective who are you spending your time with and who are you living with, who are you spending your life with? And are these the same people that you'd want to spend your life with if they were the only one you could spend time with? You know, often people talk about how life is too short, and I don't know if life's too short. I think sometimes we don't. I agree, this lifetime might be kind of short. But I think that often we might not spend our time doing what we want, necessarily with the people we want. And I think that life is too short to not do that. I think there comes a time when you have to sit there and realize, who do I want to be around? Who makes sense for me to be around, and who do I love, and who can I not spend time with? Who do I have to spend time with to make my life feel good? And I'm not saying that you're codependent or addicted to these people in any way and that your life means nothing without them. No, I'm just saying who, you know, brings even more sunshine to your life. Who do you find, you know, amazing and brilliant that you love to spend time with that seems to awaken certain things within your heart that you didn't know you had? Who feels like kindred spirits, and who feels like you've known your entire lifetime upon lifetime upon lifetime? And I think that we're able to find those people, and I'm not saying that everything else is not great and not everything else is wonderful, because it is too, but I think that when we realize the level and implication of that, it changes things. And the reason why I say that is I have clients that come in a lot often where, you know, their spouse is like, you know, I get treated the worst. You know, she talks to everybody, talks to strangers, It's so nice to everybody, but when it comes to coming home, she's very mean to me and treats me like crap, honestly. And I just feel like I'm like the last, I don't, she doesn't care about me and vice versa. He's always at work and talking to all these people and, you know, always doing a lot of political fundraising or whatever it is. And when he comes home, he's just tired and in a grouchy mood. And I just feel like I'm kind of last on the totem pole. And I feel like these situations are what needs to be examined when you think about this kind of stuff, because some people do feel as if their spouse is kind of the rudest person to them in their life. Some people feel like their family doesn't care. I mean, seriously. And it's like, you got to look in your own backyard and say, am I treating the people around me with respect? Am I holding them back, or am I letting them fly their wings and do what they need to do? That's a question. And I find oftentimes we're scared to let go. Even in marriages, we're scared to let go because, you know, well, we don't want to be the one that breaks it off, and we don't know. But I mean, really, honestly, if you're unhappy and you've tried everything, you're doing a disservice to that other person. Because maybe they could find someone that they really mesh with and someone that actually wants to be with them instead of somebody that's there with them because they feel sorry for them. Stay tuned and return. We're talking more options for that island and who you could be spending with on that stranded island tonight if you were given that challenge. Stay tuned because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time and will be back this time in two shakes.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, I've been pursuing the concept of being on that island stranded. You know, we've been asked that question ever since we were a little kid. Who would you pick to be on an island stranded? If you could only pick one person in the free world, who would it be? And I think we've kind of discussed this tonight in a great detail. We've been talking about family, and right before the break, I was talking about spouses. I mean, for the most part, if you didn't pick your spouse, there's a reason. Maybe you feel last on their list. Maybe you feel like you don't have a lot in common. And I think that this island concept really extrapolates very well toward your living situation right now. And I think we have to look at our own life as being on that island stranded. If that was the last person you could spend time with, is that where you'd want to be at? If not, what are you doing? And I find often I have clients that come into my office, I'd say, you know, I'm unhappy, I'm this, I'm that. I've been unhappy for 15 years. You've been unhappy for 15 years? That's 15 years too long. Why is that? Now, some of it's because they're unhappy with themselves and they're never going to be happy with anybody else until they figure out who they are. Others have stayed in an unhappy marriage and an unhappy relationship because they don't want to rock the boat. And they don't want to hurt someone else. Well, I'm going to give you a wake-up call real quick. If you're extremely unhappy, unless they've been living under a rock or don't want to see the truth or have no care whatsoever for anything that you feel or think and can take no cues from your actions, they probably know. And if you're probably very extremely, 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 extremely unhappy, they're probably extremely, extremely, extremely unhappy. And unfortunately, you're like killing each other because nobody wants to rock the boat. Everybody doesn't want to hurt the other person, but aren't y'all hurting each other already? And this goes for a lot of people, relationships, love relationships, whatever, friendships. Some relationships have found a stopping point or there needs to be a change in the relationship. Just because it's not working in this capacity doesn't mean that it won't work in another capacity. I find that often interesting. You know, think about it. The human condition, it's like It's like we find it hard. Like, we don't understand that we can love many people at one time. And I'm not talking about having sex with a lot of people at one time. I mean, y'all can do what you want to do. But I'm talking about you can love anybody. And it's funny how when people are dating, they find someone they love and then they find someone else and they immediately feel like they got to cut ties with that other person and figure it out. Like, we're only supposed to love one person. And I find that asinine. But I do find that that also speaks volumes and the little bit that we know about why we're here. I mean, because we're here to love other people, to understand who they are. To understand who we are, because it's most important for us to understand who we are. Who are we? And what do we want out of this lifetime? And I think that's when people start getting to those questions of who they would want to spend time with on a stranded island. Because, you know, when is the next time you're going to be stranded on an island? And then when is the next time you're going to be able to have a choice on who's going to be there? Probably not. And that's why I bring up this analogy. It's more of an analogy in a thought-provoking conversation to get your mind and heart realizing who it is that you want to spend time with, who you're not spending time with, who you want to, and who you want to end the time that you've been spending to spend more time with someone else in your life right now. Often in this analogy, we hear people bring up their friends, their best friends, their roommates. And I find that when people say that, they really truly have picked good friends. Now, whether or not they know if that person's going to be compatible on a stranded island out there in the middle of nowhere, I don't know. You might hate each other. You might get at wit's end. You might find out that life was a lot easier when you were driving through the Sonic and eating Sonic in the car, talking and laughing like those Sonic commercials. But life's a little harder when you're out there in the middle of an island trying to find food, trying to fish with a stick that you've created a sharp edge at the end of, and you're trying to basically harpoon a fish with a stick. There is no tofu anywhere. I know, I've already figured that out. It might be a little tougher, you and your buddy now, but you might have picked very good. And so I find it interesting when we do pick our friends, we realize that we probably chose wisely, at least in our heart, we believe that that's the right person. When we choose our spouse, at least indeed, we believe that with what we know of them now, we've chosen wisely, right? At least if we picked a family member, we know that we love that person. And whether or not we mesh well on a stranded island is to be determined. However, we've put a lot of stock in this relationship, and we believe in it. You know, oftentimes you'll hear some people that bring up folks like the Dalai Lama, the President of the United States, another world leader of some sort. Bring back Gandhi from the dead. Things like that. Elvis Presley. Yeah, I had to add him in. You know that. And I find that interesting because I wonder, what is it that they think? And I'm not against it at all. No, I mean, don't think that I'm against it. But what is it that they think that they will get from that they will learn from it? Will it bring them up to a higher octave, a higher connection? Do they feel like that's what they need to learn? Or are they just saying that because they think that's what people want to hear? I mean, I would definitely, just like the actors and actresses, I'd like to have, like, you know, a prayer or a conversation or a coffee or a hot tea with the Dalai Lama before we got stranded out on an island. But I would take my chances with him. I think we'd be fine. You know, it's interesting, though. It's like, you know, what makes us tick? What are we looking for? Are we still looking for something? And I find oftentimes when we choose someone that we don't know to be stranded with, personally don't know, we choose because maybe we're looking for something outside of ourselves. Maybe we feel like we're missing something. Maybe we feel as though we are, like, you know, crossed souls, you know, that there's a connection and that we would find that connection being that we were on this island stranded and we would have to find the connection and the outside world wouldn't get in the way. You know, I find that oftentimes we live our life sometimes the way we want to, but often in a limited behavior, meaning that we don't go out and do everything we can do. We don't go to the events that we should, that we can, even if they're free. We don't put ourselves out there because we're scared or stressed out because we think somebody's going to make fun of us or somebody will find fault in us. And instead, we kind of hide away and miss out. And the reason why I did this show tonight is so that you don't miss out on your life. When we begin to realize that everything is fleeting and nothing is in stone, we begin to understand the relevance of how important our life is. For example, you know, oftentimes our parents tell us that they're going to die before us, that they're preparing and that, you know, we don't have to worry about any of this stuff when it happens. But how do they even know that they're going to go before us? They don't. That's a fallacy. That could be a complete and utter fallacy based on inappropriate knowledge. It's not true. And oftentimes I find that people live their life based on that instead of based on the fact that everything is changing constantly. And you have no idea what's going to happen next. And to make decisions, life decisions, based on the fact that you are going by a suggestion that this is how it normally happens, isn't always the way it works. And so I ask you tonight to begin to really focus on your life. Begin to really get to know yourself, like I was talking, that first 10 days in solitude with you. It's mind-blowing, and it changes the game. All of a sudden, you become master of your domain. You start realizing what people talk about when they talk about that kind of stuff. You start realizing the level of intricacy and leadership and possibilities that you have. And then you can begin to realize who really matters in your life and who matters to you and who do you matter to, which is more like it as well. And do those two things come together? And how do they come together? And you begin to realize, too, once you get to know yourself, that we know nothing exactly as it will happen. And so the assumptions that we make based on, well, this is usually how it happens, we probably can be completely wrong. And so we have to realize when we constructed a life that's a box around ourselves that doesn't allow us to grow in different directions. Stay tuned. If you want to hear the second hour of being stranded on an island and what you would do, go to iHeart, go to iHeart.com, put in Ashley, and you'll find that show, the full 2 hours, on immediately following this broadcast, as well as go to Spreaker. Check out Spreaker, Spreaker with an R. Go to Live Your True Life Perspective, Stitcher, Google Play. We're on Google Play now. Check out those as well. Also, check out the Ashley Burgess Network. Check out the second hour of What You Would Do, Stranded. Both hours will be on the broadcast on iHeart. And check out AshleyBurgess.com. We just got a new amazing facelift. Let me know what you think about it. Until then, realize it's your life. Do with it as you believe is right. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in three shakes.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. For many of you, you've been listening to the show on the radio. And like I was saying, you know, being that we only have that 1 hour on that specific radio station, the second hour of the show begins now. And right before the last 50 minutes of the show, we've been talking about how we're on an island and what happens and who we'd want to be with if we were stranded on an island. I've been asked this question, like I was talking about earlier, a million times. And I think many of you have been asked the same question, often beginning in middle school or elementary school or high school, with a teacher that wants us to write an essay on who we'd pick to be stranded with. You know, we've been talking about how the concept of being stranded by yourself for 10 days, because I went on a 10-day Buddhist retreat a very long time ago. I was just in college and I went on this retreat. And yeah, it's not the easiest thing. You can't talk to anybody but yourself. Okay. And for many of you out there, you don't even want to spend time with yourself, much less just spend time only with yourself. And you can only speak to yourself and spend time with yourself for 10 solid days. And you really get to know a lot about yourself. I'm telling you, you get to know about how you tick, why you believe a certain thing, who you are, your belief system, your inabilities, the problems you have, your insecurities, the fear factors, all the problems in your life will come to a head in those 10 days and you'll deal with it. And I learned a hell of a lot about myself. But it turned out great. It's like anything, you got to go through the process, right? And it's easier to kind of say, no, no, no. I'm done with this. I'm turning around. I'm done. I'm not going to do this. But with things like this, you just got to do it. And so I think that the first 10 days of being stranded, I'd like to be stranded by myself. Because you know what I can learn? I can literally, first off, deal with my fears head on, because there's nobody else that I can pass the buck to. There's nobody else I can say, okay, yeah, I'm not really want to do that. I mean, the only time I can find that as a problem is if there was a massive poisonous spider that, I don't know, we just, I don't know, like there was no corner of the room that he could go to and no corner of the room that I could go to. I mean, that would be kind of scary, because then, you know, you deal with the arachnophobia fear, which is, woo, holy hand grenade, Superman. That can be a little overwhelming for some of us, right? Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Some of you have snake issues, mice. You know, name it. You know, we've all got some of these fears, and these fears become very big, and they become very big projections. And I was talking about that in the last hour, too, is that when we deal with ourselves, we kind of take the veil off these fears, and instead of being like a Hitchcock film, like think about those Hitchcock films where they would show you the shadow, you know, or Psycho, or various films like that where there's a shadow, and the shadow of the killer or the person was enormous, and your brain kind of like added all these ideas into it and created this person as more of a fear factor than it would have if you just saw them straight up. And that's kind of how a fear is. A fear is kind of wrapped up in shadows because they haven't really come to pass yet, but we're still scared. And so they become bigger deals where it's almost like an entity of its own. And I find that if we were stranded on an island, that would be one of the first things we deal with is our own fear. What are we fearful about? What have we allowed ourselves to, what have we basically kind of held ourselves back from? And the reason why I brought up this whole concept of being stranded on an island is it really puts it in perspective of your life. You know, a lot of people see being stranded on an island as a problem, as a situation, as a burden. But, you know, if you think about it, sometimes it allows us to really see the reality of situations instead of being overly advertised to believing in whatever society or dimensions or reality that we're supposed to believe in based on, you know, a certain groupthink process. This island allows you to really, you know, construct and deconstruct things pretty well based on your own personal thought process, and then you can bring somebody in. And I think that when we look at our own life like this, we can graduate to that next level. The next level being, I control my life. I understand who I am, I understand what stands in my way, and I understand that I have the ability to stop that and to change things. I'm not at the mercy, I'm not a victim. And I think when we start realizing that, because sometimes we can feel like we're a victim because things can happen, and it can be overwhelming, and sometimes bad things happen to good people. For the most part, I find that to some degree, we have a choice. We have a choice. And sometimes we choose very smart and wise and considerable knowledge based on our true feelings, love and respect for ourselves and a certain peaceful choice. And other times we make erratic, stupid decisions. We make stupid decisions based on something right now. We might make decisions based on fear. We might make decisions based on euphoria. We might make decisions under the influence of drugs or alcohol. You know what I'm saying? You could be out in California right now smoking out, thinking, oh, this is the greatest idea, putting a bunch of money into something. You wake up the next day and you go, oh my God, I hope that was just a dream. That's why, like, when you go under anesthesia, you actually sign a document that says that you will not make any financial, or you will not sign any documents, and you will not make any financial decisions, I think, until like 24 or 36 hours after, because you were under heavy anesthesia. Under anesthesia, you don't make choices thought completely out. I mean, some of you might say that you make the best choices in your life under anesthesia, and good for you. You must have a lot of anesthesia. I've heard that that can be quite fun. Really. But what I'm saying is that we make our choices and we have to live with them. And I think when we're making brilliant choices, we look at all various angles and realize that there's really no loss. There's no win or lose, because there's always choices and options that we can go with, that we can accept, that we can choose, that we can change, that we can augment, that we can pass up, that we can walk by. And so it's interesting when we were talking about who we would choose to be on that island. You know, after we got through the 10-day sabbatical with just us, you know, the 10-day individual solo retreat, and we've dealt with our fears head on, and we've dealt with our passion for what we're doing, and we've dealt with figuring out our purpose, and we dealt with all this stuff, at that point in time, we can make a good decision. And, you know, oftentimes I hear people say that they would choose a certain actor or actress. And I think that sometimes that's cool, because maybe you feel like you're a kindred spirit or you have some sort of connection. I find often, though, sometimes that it's based on what we think that person might be like because of a character they've played or how their outside persona is. And I find that interesting because that can be. And, you know, I think I would probably choose to not be stranded on an island, particularly at this point in time. I know there's some actors and actresses out there that I've met, that I've interviewed on The Celebrity Perspective, another show that I do. It's a weekly show called The Celebrity Perspective, where, you know, I interview a celebrity and ask them about how they're living their true life and how they found their authentic self and what they had to go through to find their own voice. You know, and in the same, I think that some of those people are absolutely amazing, and I'd love to have coffee or dinner or drinks or whatever, or go hike them, you know, 20 miles with them. But I think I would like to do that first before being stranded. You know, I find often that family can be overlooked sometimes by certain people when you ask them this question, because maybe family life's been a little traumatic. There's been a lot going on. There's been some issues, perhaps. Some stress, some belief of inequality, maybe just the concept that they just don't feel like their family understands or gets them at all. And they feel that everybody in the universe, in the free universe, could probably understand them better than their mother, their father. I mean, think about it. Some of us were raised by family that can kind of understand us. And some of us, for the most part, we grew up with this family and we understand each other more and more and more. And as the years go by, when we work at it, we really get to know them. And if we really work at having a good, positive relationship, it becomes a very interesting and amazing, you know, flower that kind of blossoms, even though we're all dealing with each other's personal hangups. What about brothers and sisters? Some of you have the most amazing brothers and amazing sisters, and you absolutely love your siblings, while others of you have not talked to your siblings in years. You don't talk. You've had a falling out. It's not something that you talk about. And for some of you, you know, being stranded with your brother or sister would be the most amazing thing ever, because you just absolutely love each other and have always. Some of you hated your little brother, little sister, your older brother, your little sister, and now you are amazing relationship. Some of you maybe started off well and ended not so well, and some of you never really had a good relationship. And it's interesting because family can be very interesting, how the dynamic can be changed from one family to another based on the love and the upbringing and the stress in the family. As well as the fact that some siblings, while they might be only a year or two apart and live under the same roof, can experience two different types of lifestyles. The way that they see their upbringing can be totally different from the way that the other sibling sees it. I've had brothers come in here. I've had sisters come into my office where one sister says that mom and dad were the best parents in the world. And they were the most amazing caregivers, and they wouldn't have ever asked for another parent ever. Whereas on the other hand, I've had the sister of that same sister say that it was awful. It was the worst experience they've ever had. Their growing up was awful. It was stressful. They just couldn't wait to get out of the house. And so the sibling that really liked living there doesn't understand what was going on in the headset of the other person. And it almost seems like the other person's telling a lie. When we return, we'll be talking more about being stranded on that island and who you'd be stranded with. Check out AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBerges.com. Just got a new facelift, and I want to know what you think about the new website. Tell me if you like our new image. Stay tuned, because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time. And well, what do we have for him, Johnny? Back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've been talking tonight about being stranded on that island and who you'd be stranded with. And right before the break, I was talking about family. And, you know, we talked about family. We talked about friends. What about the spouses? What about your spouse? Is your spouse a good enough friend to be stranded with? Think about it. What about your friends? What about your friends? Do you have a friend that you just cannot live without? And it's just like your best friend. Could you be stranded with them? Because I always find that very interesting, because when we choose people, because we choose people not based on the concept of being stranded, because we normally, most of us live in a town or the suburbs or in a big city, and we're never stranded. We can just get in our car and leave at any time, but we don't really think about where we're spending our time. And the reason why I brought up this show is because time and our health are the two biggest things. Without time, we got, I guess, nothing, because we don't have the time to do anything in. And without our health, we can't do anything if we don't have our health. So basically, time and health are the two biggest things. And often enough, in this universal concept, we don't always think that those are the two most important things. Instead, we think about money and power often, or money and fun, or work and money, success and things. You get what I'm saying? And so time is not always the thing we think of. And so we normally abuse our time, not use our time properly, and spend time with the absolute wrong people. We spend time with the wrong people, and as we do that, we waste our time, dilute our direction, and miss out on the way we're going. And that's why I'm bringing up this concept of being stranded on an island. Who would you be with? Because I think if you really thought about the people around you, there would be some people that you would realize you need to spend more time with, that you need to get to know better, that you would like to understand more, that you can learn from. And there might be some people, God bless them, that it's time to move on, or it's time to spend less time with them, because in honesty, it's not really the right proper usage of your daily time. And I'm not saying who that is. I think that some of us can sit back and realize that there's a few people in our life that we absolutely adore, but whether or not they are really good for us is to be determined. And I think the first person that we want to spend the most time with is ourselves, to get our know ourselves, because that's really the reason why we're here. Well, that is the reason why we're here, is to get to know ourselves and try to figure out who we are and why we're on this planet, what our purpose is, and what we want to learn and how we want to live. And so then the next few people in our life that we spend the most time with should be people that we respect and admire and care for and care about, and vice versa. And so if you have some people in your life that don't fall into those categories, it might be time to analyze the situation and find out from yourself why you choose to continue to spend time with these people. Because you know what? They're not making any more time. You know, some people also bring up the fact that they would hang out with the Dalai Lama or the President of the United States or something like that. And I find that very interesting too, being that you don't personally know them, but maybe you feel like you're a kindred spirit or you'd learn something, and I think that great. But I think that, again, I would definitely rather have just coffee to begin with to decide if that's necessarily who I want to spend my stranded island experience with. I do think that the Dalai Lama would be very neat. I've seen him speak before, and I wasn't able to meet him formally, unfortunately, but I was a few feet away. I think certain presidents, and I think would be very interesting around the world to meet. I just don't know if we'd be stranded well. I think anybody can get along. I mean, it would be like going to Mars. I mean, you've got to get along. Either you don't get along or you kill each other on the way there, or you just don't speak. And so instead of 10 days of not speaking, if you're going to Mars, you only have like how many years? 9.5 months one way, 9.5 months the other way. And if you live to come back, that's cool too. But so you think about the people that you want to spend time with. And I think that's always very interesting. But let's take it a step further. Because you know how it is on Live Your True Life Perspectives. We got to take it a step further because it's all about what it really means in our life right now. Because it's much more than being stranded on this metaphorical island with somebody. It's about how we're actually living our life right now. And are we living it to the best we can based on this type of concept? So what would be the things or the thing that you would hope to have on you, on your person, when you got stranded on this island? And I find that quite interesting too, because when we think about things, to me, people are way more important than things. Animals are way more important than things. But I do feel that things have energy, like cars and items of any sort. But in a situation like this, we kind of have to extrapolate the concept of being on that island stranded. But I think we also have to look at it from our perspective of being in our house right now. What are the things that you absolutely love in your house right now? What are things that you would not want to live without? And then do any of those basically transfer over to the concept of being stranded on an island? So, like, for example, the TV is probably not a great example of things that you want to bring to the island stranded, because you know what? Electricity would probably be a great thing to have first. And it's interesting because lately with TV, there's occasional TV shows that I watch and movies, because there's some amazing actors and actresses and TV and film stars that I just adore. And I like to follow their career, and I believe in their success, and I want to champion that success any way I can. But when it comes to just aimlessly watching TV, I just don't do it. I just don't do it. And so the concept of bringing a TV with me doesn't make any sense. I wouldn't bring a TV with me, and I definitely wouldn't bring a radio, even though I could hear my own show. But maybe not, because we were on a stranded island, right? So we might not get any reception. And, you know, I can hear my own self talk, so I could basically talk, and being that I have 10 days to talk on my own with nobody there, I could have 10 solid days of the Ashley Burgess Show. Seriously. So that takes out TV, any sort of TV type components, a radio. What about a phone? You got no reception. Who are you going to call? I mean, it wouldn't be bad to have like the navigation system, but lately my service doesn't even work in town, much less on an island in the middle of nowhere. I don't think that the navigation system is probably going to work for me. And I know that I'm probably not going to get my texts and my calls aren't going to hold up. They don't even hold up in the city, much less out there. So that's not going to happen. So then what do? So we don't bring the phone, even though the phone has become an appendage. Am I right or am I right? The phone has become an appendage. And I don't know about y'all, but I have watched people literally almost get hit in the middle of the street because they got their phone literally in their hand, in their face, and they're not paying attention to anything around them. And it's interesting because that phone, I don't know about y'all, but I gotta really watch out because that phone can get in the way of our living. That phone. It's like we forget we're at a meeting, or we forget we're having dinner with our best friend that we don't see often because they don't live in town anymore. They live in Korea. And there you are over there. Oh, look, John sent me a Facebook poke. Oh, Allison sent me a message. She's hanging out down the street. Think about it. How often we get off base because we look at that phone. What about all the work that we're doing and all of a sudden someone calls you and you go, oh, gotta take that. Gotta take that. You get totally derailed over to something else. I mean, for most of you, you'd be out there on that desert island looking down at that phone hoping that one of those games work. And then you would go into like some sort of like depression when the battery dies and you can't plug it in, and you would be inconsolable for days. And I find that addiction that we have with our phone is causing an emotional divide within our country and within the world, I believe. You know, think about it, like the dating sites now. It's like people text each other back and forth a million times before they ever even get on the phone to set a date. It's like you've already texted everything you know. It's like Hollywood speed dating. It's like, what the hell are you doing? It's like we've taken all the cool getting to know each other and understanding each other all out of it. And now it's all based on whatever you tell me in a text and if I like it or not and if you look hot or not in a picture. And I find oftentimes that we put a lot of stock in what's in our phone and not what's right in front of us. I mean, how many times I've done it myself? I mean, you can raise your hand. I'm raising my hand emotionally, mentally, physically right now. How many times have you been in a dinner listening to an amazing conversation and you actually go and look at your phone? And it's not because you're bored. It's because it's out of habit. Habits are hard to break. One of the things I'm glad about, though, is that I was raised, you know, I went through elementary school, middle school, and high school without having a phone. I didn't get a phone until I was, 17? And I think that really helped me because I've been on both sides of this equation. Some of you out there didn't have a cell phone until you were in your 30s, 40s, 50s. Some of you, 20s. Some of you got a cell phone when you were 7. And I think that for some of us that we've had the best of both worlds, it's been kind of nice because it doesn't seem odd to not have that phone all the time. But for some of you that have lived and breathed with that, it can either be like you're tired of it or it's a part of your appendage. It's an appendage that you have. It's a part of your body, I mean, that you just can't seem to get away with. And it's funny because it's not one of those things that you want to bring on a deserted island, a stranded island. I mean, it's like, what are you going to do with that? Nothing. But yet we spend most of our days and hours like, you know, toiling over who's texting us, who's not texting us, who hasn't responded, and who won't text us back. When I return, we're going to be talking more about the things that you would want to bring or have with you on that island, and again, how that relates right back to your current lifestyle. Stay tuned. Check out AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com. We got a new facelift. I would like to know what you think about that. AshleyBurgess.com. Check out the AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. You're listening here on Spreaker or Stitcher or iHeart or Google Play, which I very much appreciate that. Stay listening. We got more for you. Leave Your True Life Perspectives. Your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back when? When? Be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I've been talking about being stranded on that desert island, or that island for that matter, and who you would bring. And now I've been talking about what would you bring? What would be the thing that you would have to have? And all this kind of extrapolates back to our lifestyle now. The reason why I'm asking these questions is not based on a hypothetical question if you got stranded on an island, you know. No, it's based on, are you making the most out of your life? Are you centering yourself around the right people in your life? And are you spending the most time doing what you want and doing what's right? And it's interesting, you know, what could you bring on this island? And, you know, one thing you can't bring is a TV because you wouldn't be able to use electricity and the phone would eventually die. But, you know, think about the things that we're on the most. We watch TV and we use the phone all the time. I don't know how many times that I can sit there and watch people looking at their phone the entire time at dinner or at lunch, never communicating with one another. It's amazing how the phone has become another person. It's like the phone needs to have its own chair. And it's very interesting because it's like we miss the boat of where we are and what we're doing, and we confuse the digital world with the reality. And, you know, it was interesting. One of my clients came in, this was a couple months ago, and they said that they were at a birthday party of a good friend, and they'd given her a surprise party. And they had done it at a very nice place, and, it, you know, rented out a room and invited 25 of their closest friends, and they had this amazing dinner, and, you know, they paid for everything, and they said it was just absolutely amazing, but they got really angry. And I said, why did you get so angry? She goes, I just got so mad. I go, okay, explain to me, why did you get so mad? It's good to see that you have some emotion today. And she said, because I did all that work, and the birthday girl's over there on her phone the whole time, texting people that didn't come to the birthday party, on Facebook. And she's like, she wasn't really even a part of her own birthday party. And I find that very interesting. I find that a lot of us are living a life like that right now. And we don't realize what we're doing. Unfortunately, we aren't able to realize what we're doing to ourselves. We're taking ourselves right out of the game of life. It would be like you're out there on the desert island with your phone. I mean, that's not going to help you because, one, you're not going to have any reception. And two, it kind of defeats the purpose. And three, it's like we're living a life that's kind of like pseudo-real and pseudo-not-real. And we're kind of forgetting the fact that a lot of the times on our phone, we kind of assume that that's reality when it's really not. And so instead of really being in reality, we're kind of stuck on the sidelines of our real life because we're on the phone all the time experiencing partial reality with what we have on the phone. And I find that interesting because I feel that when we're thinking about what are the things that we would take and what would we want to take with us when we're on this island and we have only a few options. I mean, my first option would be like, heck, if you could have a bunch of water, I would take water. That'd be my first thing. The second thing would be tools to make things, create things, you know, things to fish with, fishing lures, rods, that kind of sort of thing. You know, think about that. I would think about things like that, things that we can make stuff. You know, maybe it's a tent, a place to stay, a place to sleep, a bed, a cot, a sleeping bag, a canteen, a candle. It's like we forget the necessities of life when we're living in the big cities because we forget what really matters. And recently, in one of the cities that I broadcast from, they had this tiny home show, and it was a environmental, it was a Earth Day type green energy type green country type, you know, festival, and they were showing these tiny houses, and they're like 250, 300 square feet, and it's very interesting. I mean, yeah, they're small, but you know what? I mean, how much room do you really need to live? And what do you really need in a house? And if you think about it, I understand that, you know, if you have a lot of kids and you got a lot of stuff going on. But think about it. I mean, it really brings you back to realizing that we really don't need all the stuff that we think we need. We really don't need all the pairs of shoes and the purses and all the items and the things and all this stuff. And you know, I always give an analogy to some of my clients, not always or never, but I do give an analogy to some of my clients. It's the fire analogy, and I don't like to give this to clients that have a fire fear or phobia, okay? I'm not mean. I use this example because I think that it really hits home. If your house, God forbid, was to have a fire, what would be the things that you would get out if you had, let's just say, 7 minutes. If you had 7 minutes of time on a stopwatch, what would be the things that you would get out? And I mean, the things that I would get out would be, first off, you know, my spouse, my dog. I don't have any children right now. If I had children, it would be my children too. If I had a cat or fish or a ferret, or a chinchilla, you know, all the animals, the living, you know, I would try to get the plants out as well. Plants are living. I think there's some pieces of artwork that, even though I don't know what I would do with, I would try to get out just because they're one of a kind. And I fell in love with how they made me feel a little bit. Some jewelry pieces that I just, they're one of a kind. Some clothing, there might be like a shirt or jeans that are just my favorite pair of jeans. I'd put those on. You know, there's certain things like that you think about, but think about all the other stuff that never comes to your mind. That's what I'm talking about. And the weirdest thing about that other stuff is that stuff takes up a lot of our mind share in our life. That stuff, and acquiring that stuff, even though we wouldn't get it in the fire, and it wouldn't be, that first 7 minutes would never be about any of that, right? That's what I'm talking about. And it's like, if the first 7 minutes wouldn't involve that, then why do we think about it all the time? A lot of women out there, and you know who I'm talking about, you know who you are. And I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying that I know you know who you are too, that love the bags. You love the handbags, the designer handbags. The more expensive, the better. In that 7 minutes, where do those handbags go? Is that the first minute, the first 2 minutes, the first seven? Is it even in that first seven? For some of you men out there who collect things like watches or whatever, are those in the first 7 minutes? Or is that kind of a society thing that you've dubbed as your own life because that's where you see all the commercials and ads, and that's become second nature? And that's what you're supposed to do because you're a man, and that's what you're supposed to collect. I think it's interesting. I mean, I find it interesting because the last thing you really need on an island is a watch or, you know, expensive shoes. Or a Birkin bag or a Prada bag. And I'm not putting down those names. I'm just saying we put a lot of stock in things that, you know, they're not going to save our life. We're not going to be able to make anything out of it. I mean, you might be able to make a net out of one of those bags to catch some fish in. That's an expensive net. And I understand that it's okay to have things that we have to save our money and buy, and it's okay, and that's okay, and I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying, I mean, what can you really take with you? And I find that the necessities, when we really look at necessities and we look at what's holistic and we look at necessities, they're not necessarily as hard to get as a lot of these luxuries. And some of the luxuries just become a headache. And what luxuries do we have that we can't live without? And I was looking at these mini houses, and they're absolutely adorable. And if you were going to get a vacation spot and you got some land and you put one of these mini houses on and you got, you know, water and electricity hooked up, it'd be perfect. It's like, you know, the adage when people take a cruise, or they go and they stay at an amazing resort, but they don't get the most expensive room because they're like, you're not going to be staying in the room all day and night. You're going to be out and about doing things, right? And that's where I feel like we're at nowadays, is that we've created this barrier between us and outside, between us and the world. And we want this barrier to be so amazing and insane. We want to have it opulence and marble and granite, and we want the Greek gods outside in 12-foot statues. And I want my 3 pools, and I need my 150 acres, and I need my 9-foot steel fence with my initials on the front between me and my neighbors, and I need 5 cars because I need different cars for each day of the week, or 7 cars, and then the 5 cars that I take Monday through Friday. And anyway, you see what I'm saying? I mean, there's so much we have to deal with, but is it really? And I feel that we've divided ourselves from reality. And I think that the more we get in touch with nature, the more our reality becomes real again. The more we realize that a lot of these things that we've taken on, these things that we believe that we have, these things are just us falling for a lot of stuff that we don't really need. And I'm not saying that it's not nice to have a nice watch or to have a nice pair of shoes. I'm not at all saying that. And I'm not saying that it's not good to have maybe a couple of pieces that, you know, you can wear to nice occasions. And I'm not saying that that makes you a bad person. I'm saying that's fine. But I'm saying when we wrap our brain around it and get stressed out and make this our whole mode of operandi, that's when I feel that we've somewhat missed the boat. That's when I feel that we are so out of touch that we are no longer in reality. We've actually lost our concept of reality a long time ago. And it was a few years ago. I would say for me, it was about 7 years ago when I had my retail therapy wake-up call. And when I had the wake-up call, woo, Lordy, get back. It hurt. It hurt bad. And I remember where I was at the time when I had the wake-up call. For some of you, you can relate immediately. For some of you, can't. And for some of you, you'll laugh and laugh and laugh. And others will be like, what in the hell is she talking about? I had the wake-up call. And I won't name names or point fingers, but at a store. And I was looking at some boots. And I found this pair of amazing, amazing boots. And a lot of women can understand where I'm coming from. And I put them on and I was like, oh my God, where have you been all my life? And I wore them around the little shoe department, and I put them back in the box, and I said, I'll take them. And I gave over my credit card, and they came back, and I went, oh my God. Oh my God. How much is this? And I apprehensively signed the credit card statement, and they gave me my bag, and they had a smile on their face. They're going, you're going to love these. And I went home, and I brought them into my closet, and I left them in the bag, in the box, in the big bag. And I didn't put them on. And about a week went by, and I decided I was going to try them on. And I tried them on, and I put them back in the box, and I put them back in the bag, and I put them back in my closet, and I tried something else. And about a week later, I thought about wearing them, but then I was like, no, it's going to be a concert, and they could get dirty, and so I'll wear something else. About 4 days later, I decided I could wear them, but then I was like, it's going to rain. They could get wet. I'll wear something else. 5 days after that, you see where I'm going with this. And finally, one day I looked and I said, the reason why I haven't worn these is not because I don't think they're amazing. It's because I don't need them. And I know that a lot of people out there will say, well, you don't need any of this stuff. And I agree with you, but I finally woke up and realized I just don't. And I felt kind of bad about it. Because it was supposed to give me a high for buying that. I was supposed to feel elated, but all I did was feel kind of bad. And so I went back to the store, and it took a lot of gumption. And about 2 days later, I finally got the gumption up, and I went to the store, and I returned them. And the guy said, what was wrong with them? Do they not fit? I go, they fit great. I just never wore them, and I'm going to go and return them. And it was very frustrating, but I finally got through it. And that was the last time I bought something like that, because I realized that it's not going to better me. And it's almost like getting that piece of jewelry that you just never use. It's like, I often see people, they have this amazing piece of jewelry and they never wear it. And they look at it all the time and they leave it in their jewelry box. And you sit there and you ask them, what are you going to do with that? And they're like, oh no, I'll never wear it out because it could be stolen. Or I could lose it. Or it could fall off my neck. Something bad could happen. And it's like, well, you know what? I mean, it is a piece of jewelry that's beautiful. And sadly, and often, more times than not, you see that when that person passes away, someone else gets the piece of jewelry and may or may not like it that much. They might sell it. They might wear it. They might keep it. But it's kind of like the point is gone. You know, we're here on this earth to learn to love and to find happiness within ourselves and to realize what it means to be human on this planet. And no thing makes our life better. It makes it easier. It doesn't make us happier. But also, everything has an energy and a purpose. And I find that when we start kind of thinking about the island analogy, it makes perfect sense on how to live our true life. When it comes to the things that we bring with us on this island, or the people that we spend our time. It's interesting because this life can be, I think, very easy if we allow it, and very difficult and dramatic and traumatic if we don't. Stay tuned when I return to me talking about looking at your own life right now, here, examining what you're doing, how to make changes, and how to create the best life ever with what you have right now. Stay tuned because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in. I'll be back this time in two shakes. You could be
my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I've been talking about being stranded on an island. Who would you like to be stranded with? What about the items that you would take with you? What items that you would you use right now on that island? And think about it. I'm not just talking about an island when I'm talking about this. I'm actually talking about you to begin to look into your own life right now. And are you using your time wisely? Are you spending your time with people that matter to you? Are you spending your time with people that can help you, educate you? Are you being able to educate and help others? And what about the things? Are the things that you have, are they building you up or are they holding you down? And I think this is a very interesting thing to analyze, because when we put it in the perspective of being stranded and knowing that you just can't run away, it kind of changes the dynamic. It changes the dynamic because we're not just able to go, oh, well, you know, tomorrow, if we don't like it, we can just change it. We can move on. We get in the car and go, and that's fine. We're over this. This is done. Done deal here. Done deal here. Let's go change it up. Got to find some better friends. No. It puts into perspective what you're doing right now. And the first thing I want to talk about is ways that we can make changes in our life, what we can learn from this analogy, and what we can take into our own life right now and better our life as it is. And the first thing we can do is to evaluate all the relationships that are in our life. Begin to honestly evaluate all the relationships in our life. Are you happy with these relationships? Are these promising, prospering, positive, happy, wonderful, joy-offering relationships, or are they quite the opposite? Are they very dramatic and downtrodden and upsetting and angry and resentful? And what part of this game are you playing with them, and vice versa? You know, being a therapist, I know that there's a two-way street all the time. And somebody might be playing more of a game than somebody else is, but both people are playing to some degree when things aren't really working. Because eventually what happens is that there's a relationship that you just don't want to be a part of. You finally drop the ball and you put the racket down and you go, I'm not serving. I'm done. I'm out. Thanks for playing. Have a great day. I'm gone. You see what I'm saying? And so I realize it takes two to tango. So we have to begin to realize, what are our relationships that we're currently in? And are these good relationships? Are they solid relationships? Are they based on trust and honesty? Are they based on being authentic and real? Or, on the opposite, are they based on lies and deceit? Are they based on superficiality? Are they based on societal values instead of personal beliefs? Are they, so a lot of, you know, often I find that people say, hey, you know, they really like somebody or they're cool, but at the same point, they just can't communicate with them because they don't have the same spiritual values, or they're not open to that. And do you feel that a lot of your relationships are based on a surface relationship? Better yet, do you feel like you can even speak your mind or how you feel? Or do you feel kind of like tormented in the fact that you don't feel like anybody will understand you? That to me is a man is an island type thing, right? If you don't feel like anybody understands you and what you believe in is over people's heads or people don't like to hear it, it's really like you're on your own isolated island. And I think to some degree we don't realize that the relationships around us, and we play a part, it's not just them, can keep us down or can elevate us, and vice versa. We can elevate other people or we can beat them down. And I've seen both, and I've seen relationships that amazingly flourish, and I see relationships that bring everybody down to their knees and ruin everybody's life in the process. And again, it's a two-way street. Think about it. I think that we have to realize, what are our needs? What are our desires? Are we highly spiritual people? Do we want to be able to communicate on a spiritual level with people? What do we believe in? What matters most to us? And around, are people around us, do they also have that same feeling? Does it matter to them? You know, the second thing that I think is, when we talk about things, what would we bring on the island? What would we have? What would we need to have? Is that, in the same as in our own life, we have to evaluate the things that we have. Is there anything missing? Do we need anything? How much clutter do we have? How much stuff do we have that we don't necessarily need? What about this? Have you thought that certain things can hold you back, can hold you down from being able to move forward? And I know you might be asking me why or how that is, but think about it. There's, the more things we have, the more we are held down into this material world, because we have a lot of things we have to take care of. And, you know, it's nice, you know, you hear people that have like 3 or 4 homes and they have all these cars and they got to take care of all that stuff. They got to find somebody to do that, and they got to do that kind of stuff. And that's great. But you're also holding yourself to a monetary material world, which is fine if you can handle that. But in the same account, I find that some clutter and some things that we have can just be there to hold us down, because we get so enmeshed on how to get more of it that we forget to love what we have and to use and to appreciate what we already have instead of looking for more. It's like often you find people on a vacation where they're over there looking at the vacation books and another. So they're in Europe and they're looking at a vacation book in another part of Europe. You're like, well, you're in Paris right now. Why don't you do things in Paris? Why are you looking in Britain? Why are you looking at a map of London? You're not going to be there for another 5 days. Why are you doing that? You're here in Paris right now. You know, it's always that bigger, better deal. Well, I'm here right now, but in 5 days I'm going to be there, and that's going to be way better. And then 5 days I'm going to be there, and that's going to be way better. And that's going to be way better. You know what? Nothing's ever better, because you're too busy looking at something else. You're never appreciating where you are. And I find that a big mistake in our life. And I find that not only with people and destinations and things, I find that all the way around. It's like we don't cherish a person until they've left our lives, until they've died, until they've walked out on us, until they told us that we're a jerk and we never listen to anything, we're an ass, and they walk out, we go, oh my God, the best thing in my life, the best person in my life just left me, oh my God, I'm heartbroken, oh my God, what am I gonna do? Or, you know, that car that you never really took care of ends up, you know, you end up having a massive accident and then it gets totaled out and you go, I love that car. That was my favorite car of all my life. I miss that car so much. God, I love that car. It's like the human condition to not really care about anything until it's gone. You don't appreciate the subtleties until they're no longer around. And I find that when we think about this island analogy, we realize that there's more to life than things. And it's based on what really adds to the quality of our life and what do we add to the quality of life on. And last but not least, I think that you got to hear your inner you. You got to hear your inner self. When we begin to listen to our inner self and not listen to propaganda or what other people tell us that we should like or what we should do, we begin to realize what matters to us. And when we matter and we realize what matters to us, we begin to see value in the things that are most valuable to us. We begin to declutter our life with things that we don't necessarily need because we realize again what we value and what in turn is valuable in our life. And we begin to do three things. We begin to go through the things in our life and we take those things that we've collected and that we've bought and that we thought was the end all be all of life's existence and we either give them away to people who can use them and who would be thrilled to have something. Think about it. For some of you women out there, the handbag, remember that great handbag that you, the first really amazing expensive handbag you bought that you loved and cherished, and now it's kind of been the one that you've kind of used a little bit, and now there's like little pin marks in there, and you haven't really cleaned it out that much. That bag could be someone else's, like, you know, pot of gold. For some of you men out there, some of the slacks that you have that you've outgrown could help another person get a job that they wouldn't otherwise get. For some of those dresses out there, for some of you women that no longer fits you or it doesn't really flatter you as well, think about somebody that could really use that dress and would really make them feel very feminine again. So the first thing we can do with decluttering our life is to give things away. To give things away with love and happiness and to understand that when we give these things away, we're helping other people, giving them more options and a lease on life. The second thing we can do with some of these things is we can sell them. We can sell them. And in order to sell them, we can sell them and make money and either take that money and save that money, or we can take that money and give to charity. We can put it in savings for our children. So there's some things that we can give away, and there's some things that we can sell. And last but not least, the things that are left over, we can recycle. Mother Earth is very important. She's one of my favorite people in the world. And, you know, the way I see it is that there's most of the stuff we can recycle. We can bring it to recycling places. You don't have to count on your neighborhood recycler. If you don't believe in that, you can take it to places to recycle. Even computer equipment and old printers and stuff like that, there's places that actually take that and either refurbish them or recycle the parts. So we can recycle these things that we don't use. We don't have to throw them away. And so I ask you to begin today to look at your life and give away what you don't need that other people could cherish. Sell some of the other things and recycle the rest. But better yet, realize the personalities, the relationships, the connections you have. And see that time and health are the two biggest facets of our life that we need to have. And remember to use your time wisely. To surround yourself with people that you build up and who also build you up. For more information on my practice, if you'd like to see me via Skype from anywhere in the world, go to ashleyburgess.com, Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S.com. click on contact and send me an email from the contact page and I will respond ASAP. I love working with people from all over the world. You know, whether you're a student, a CEO, I can help you get to that next level in life where you find what you've been looking for and experience your true purpose. Check out the Ashley Burgess Network. Check out Spreaker, Google Play, obviously iHeartRadio, and check out all the other stations that I'm on my website. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day, your morning, your evening, your night, and live your true life perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in, well, this time in three shakes.